Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
How would you like to be an animator for Pixar, DreamWorks, or Disney? To some, it's a dream job. Aaron Notestein worked at those companies and is now running his own animation studio based in Milwaukee with a partner in California. Tomorrow, he'll be leading a tea at the LEC, or Lubar Entrepreneurship Center, at UW-Milwaukee. People who attend will have a chance to network and do 2D, 3D, and stop-motion animation. Here he is speaking with WUWM's Mayan Silver.
I started off with a shoebox, and my mom made it for me. It had two pencils, unsharpened, one at the top, one at the bottom, and we taped a paper roll. And I could draw one and then crinkle up the pencil, and the next picture would come up. And it wasn't quite 24 frames per second, but it was allowing me to create a little scroll of a picture story of something that I can't spell, but I have a, you know, what are probably now look like squiggles, but it's a robot squiggle, and it's saving the town, and it's here's the bad guy that's come in.
Wait, so you weren't even just drawing regular cartoon images? You were actually trying to do some animation, like, as a kid?
Oh, yeah. From the very beginning, I was put down in front of a TV and saw animation and always loved it. Just thought, what is this magic? How is this happening? And someone was like, well, they didn't, you know, it's not real. It's not filmed. And it's like, what? What does that mean then? How did they get it? What do you mean it wasn't filmed? Who came up with it? Oh, someone drew it. Someone drew it? Who is this person? And then you see them, and they're a cartoon of life, and you're like, what the? This is a Hogwarts for real. This is a magical person who can do stuff and gets paid for it? Why wouldn't everyone try to have that feeling of, what a gift, what a joy that this is a real place for someone to operate from? But you're also, you know, a very cartoonist person who goes, yeah, that's what I'll do. You know, it's not very, like, straight and narrow. It's very, you're going to go on a very winding path.
Right. So what was your path?
Oh, started off school at North Carolina School of the Arts, and it was the first year of the animation program. So we had no alumni. We literally transformed a broom closet into our studio. And there were brooms and mops in the corners for until I graduated. And so they told us to kind of keep our hopes down. And you're going to be the first wave through. And I told them I wanted to work at Pixar and DreamWorks and Sony. And they were like, keep your expectations down. You're the first one out. You don't know anybody. And I had three teachers who really just believed in me and said, you know, bump all that. You swing. When you get up to bat, you take a swing. You apply. You apply. You apply. You apply. And I applied 16 times to get into Pixar. And I have 16 rejection letters that I have printed out and I keep it.
Nice.
And they're all copy-paste. They're not even personalized.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Entry number 1,100 and, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not a special denial. The 17th time, my last time as a senior, because I had started working at all these other places to impress Pixar, I finally got in. And that's when people don't ask about the 16 times. They go, you got in?
Amazing. It's all about the resilience then, hey?
Yeah.
And trying to increase your portfolio, which is one of the things that you're talking about at this event that's coming
up
on Tuesday.
Tea at the LEC, March 25th. Tiara Hammond is setting up a great event. I mean, the whole LEC team, a bunch of people that you want to meet to help set up your companies, your businesses, if I could go back and talk to myself at five and give myself some advice, and someone says they want to be an artist when they're five, and this event is for five-year-olds, if it's for adults who want to take it, it's for students primarily, but if you have a young one and you're like, they really like this, like, could it be something? Yes. Yes, it could. Here's how. Here's this program that's being born at the LEC that's merging the Peck School and the business school for artists who want to think about, well, maybe I don't want to move to California. I'd like to stay local. How can I do that? How can I take ownership of my own artwork? How can I not go and work at a company and retain no royalties a lot of times with animators because the union broke in the 40s. Thank you, Walter Elias Disney. The residual income is not even possible. A lot of the unions who went on strike in L.A., writers recently, it's over increasing their residuals. Animators have none to begin with. And the idea of asking for some is a non-starter for deals. So how do you as an artist navigate this world that is gig to gig and that, you know, comes with a lot of mysticism? How do you navigate it? Do you set up a company? Do you work for yourself? This is taking all of the experience that isn't just at the big studios, but then after I left those studios and I started making my own content and I started marketing myself. The biggest fear for animators is not even doing the work. It's promoting it. It's saying, hey, I have something. Would you like to see it? Because that potential vulnerability of, oh, God, are you going to hate it? Are you going to not be interested? But I want to, but how do I and how and where do I go?
So the people that are going to come to this Lubar Center's tea at the LEC, there's going to be some discussion about 2D, 3D, and stop motion animation. Like, in a nutshell, what's the difference between those three types?
If you're a filmmaker, you're most accustomed to working with your hands in stop motion. That's the easiest. If you're a filmmaker, I'm already used to working on a set. I've got actual lights, actual cameras, actual things in front of me. 3D is predominantly computer-based, so you're on your computer all day. 2D, you can go super digital. A lot of people, you know, draw on their iPads, tablets, on their computers. But it's also something that, especially in the early stages, you're writing on paper, you can go analog, you can unplug for a little while, and then before kind of getting into the production and post-production parts of it. But we'll also be talking about the entrepreneurship behind, as an animator, you're never just a 3D animator or a stop-motion animator or a 2D animator. I've worked on all three kinds of mediums. And the idea of giving a spirit to something is what an animator does, whether it's with a puppet, whether it's with a hand puppet that, or a, you know, 3D character or a stop motion.
Claymation or.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Katzenberg just gave a sobering opinion, I don't know, about 80 to 90% of the jobs at these big studios being obsolete with AI. And that's a sobering kind of reality. But the response to that is that you don't need to apply for those jobs. You can come to the Entrepreneur Center, the LEC, and not only get a great arts education, but you can also learn how to operate it as your own business. It's taking the everything in animation needs to be done in California and saying it can happen right here in Milwaukee.
What is that animation scene in Milwaukee?
I think of it as, I read a book to my daughter called The Seven Blind Mice, and it's the orange one goes over to the tusk and says, it's a spear. And the red one goes over to the tail and says, it's a rope. And the other one goes over to the ears and says, it's a fan. And finally, one of them goes through all of them and goes, oh, it's an elephant. And the Milwaukee animation scene is all of those parts exist. And we keep saying, well, you can only be an elephant in California. And meanwhile, Milwaukee is an elephant that doesn't realize it yet. It hasn't had the, wait, so if so-and-so was here, why would we need to? That's right. We don't need to. It's here. We're an elephant.
So in non-metaphorical terms, though, what's the elephant in Milwaukee? It's got, there's resources at UWM. There's resources elsewhere.
Yes.
What would you say they are?
UWM is such a fantastic resource itself. It's teachers. The Peck School of the Arts is, if you've ever been to the fourth floor there, it's beautiful. Their equipment, their sound stages are state of the art. Like, it's, UWM was also ranked in Hollywood Reporter's top 25 schools a couple of years ago. So it's at this threshold of greatness, and I really want to participate in it. I want to throw my hat in the ring and help out because it's bigger than me. It's bigger than any one person, but it's so exciting that I would want to remind people, because we're not starting anything. We're reminding people how much is already here. And, you know, if I were to say, oh, I wanted to come in here and create one big studio, in Milwaukee. It would be an insult because there are actually a lot of smaller studios here that I would be ignoring, which isn't kind to them. But it would also be missing the potential of, through these programs, creating something that can build 12 studios. And they're artist-driven, so they're not these, you know, evil corporate mean to artists. They're by the artists, for the artists, and create 12 different studios, create 120 studios, create so many studios is ridiculous. But to realize that Milwaukee is growing and it's not in want of anything other than that moment of, oh, wait, we do have everything here.
So do you think that if you were like going to choose some personality traits that would make you a successful animator overall, do you know what that would be?
This, again, is a great question, and I'm already kicking myself in the future for not having a great reply here. If you have a disproportionate amount of pain tolerance, inner pain tolerance, if you can deal with frustration and keep going, animation's a glove. It fits like a glove. If you can endure it.
Totally. You know, your story, you were talking about how you had applied 16 times to Pixar and finally on the 17th time you got accepted after doing a whole lot of work to get there.
Yeah.
But there was a, like NPR, I'm pretty sure it was NPR, did a story about a cartoonist that was trying to get a cartoon into The New Yorker. Do you know that story?
No, I don't.
He literally, I don't remember what the exact number was, but it was like 200 some odd times that he had submitted cartoons to The New Yorker. And finally, he got an acceptance after like,
wow.
Yeah, 218 times or something like that.
And now he's a cartoonist.
Yeah, now he's a published New Yorker cartoonist. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's that that resilience. It's that impenetrable optimism, potentially, I guess, is what you could say, right?
Yeah, it's very penetrable, but it's very it grows back. I'll say that sometimes when I get into like a technical point and I'm using Blender or something and I just reach a point where I go, I don't know how to do this, I will allow myself to quit for the night. I'm quitting. Get to be very dramatic, and then in the morning I go, all right, I'll start up again. I'll try it again this way, but I allow myself that big. That's it. I quit.
Yeah, there you go. You need those breaks. You got to be good for yourself. I think that's a lesson for no matter what your career is, like you need rest. You can't just like plow forward all the time. Do you have like a favorite Pixar or like a favorite cartoon? I just want to give a shout out to one of my favorite ones, Jerry's Game from 1997.
Oh, yes.
It features an elderly man named Jerry playing a game of chess against himself in a park, and it won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I loved WALL-E. That opening first 30 minutes with almost no dialogue, I think rewired in a really cool way all of the potential of what you can do with animation as a story and as a medium for telling a story. So shout out Andrew Stanton on that one.
Nice. I got to see that. I've never seen it.
WALL-E?
Can you believe it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's a gem. I never want, when people say, I haven't seen this or I haven't read this, it's not a point of like, you're a bad person. It's what a treat you have in store for you. What a piece of dark chocolate you've saved for yourself for later on to say, I'm waiting for the right moment to crack open my WALL-E for the first time.
Totally. Yes. Or your Jerry's Table.
Yes.
For that matter. Jerry's Game.
Jerry's game
for that matter. Yes. Love it. Awesome. Well, Aaron Nodstein, thank you so much for chatting with us on Lake Effect.
Thank you so much for having me.
Aaron Notestein is a Milwaukee-based animator. He'll lead the Tea at the LEC event at UWM tomorrow evening. Ahead of that, he spoke with WUWM's Mayan Silver.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.